A warm and friendly hello! Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. We've got an excellent podcast for you. It's the last game of the college basketball season. I will get you guys picks and analysis on the title game in the final segment as we hit some bank shots. We'll go in-depth on this game in segment number two with our good friend Tanner Kern, who does some great work over at DraftKings. Talk a little bit about some of the coaching moves that we've seen here in the offseason, as well as after today. This podcast will not be going away. I have not missed a college basketball podcast in like 2,300 days or something like that. It will be continuing throughout after the podcast today. I'll really start to dive in on these coaching moves that we've seen in the offseason, the transfer portal as well, which I'm not going to be going through every single guy that entered in the transfer portal until they land with a new spot. When they land with a new spot, you'll have a ton of analysis there, and we'll see what the jurisdiction over the weekend in terms of NCAA athletes is going to be doing for the landscape as well, because that does not take effect until August 1st. So there's probably going to be a lot of court battles, which is going to be boring to talk about, but we have to do so on this podcast. We're going to get you guys set for a great 2027 season, but that said, we have to finish off 2026 first. So have no fear there. We're with you guys every single day on this podcast, and we'll get you guys those bank shots in the final segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And if you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, and please do fire these in for the offseason, because I'm going to have over 180 podcasts to fill. So you've got plenty of time to be able to fire in these questions. You've got one of two ways to be able to fire those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at GNet_81. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other ways, find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it's very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. While I did not get in any Twitter/X questions today, we had ourselves a pair of great college basketball games on Sunday. Let's take a look back at them, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
The games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the Rowdy Recap.
Overwhelming day on Sunday. Both games went to overtime, and both games do go over the total, with West Virginia being able to rip victory out of the jaws of defeat from Oklahoma, 89-82, the final. For Oklahoma, they got up as many as 13 points towards the early part of the second half in this one, but for West Virginia, they go 15 out of 33 from three-point range. On rough, he huffed, he puffed, and he put in their 38 points on 8 of 15 from 3-point range. West Virginia's been suspect at the free throw line all season long. They end up going 18 out of 23 at the free throw line. Huff, a perfect 12 of 12 for West Virginia. They win the rebound battle 32 to 31. They win the turnover battle 14 to 11 as well. Now Nigel Pack, he packed it in. 24 points, 4 of 8 from 3-point range, and for Oklahoma, they do go 10 of 12 at the free throw line, but probably needed a little bit more than 13 points out of Xavier Brown. So for West Virginia, they do take the crown title. And then in the NIT, that's another game that went to overtime, and it all depended upon your number as to whether or not you were able to get a cover, a push, or something else. As Tulsa, they fall in this game 92-86. They were down at one point by as many as 21 points as Kevin Overton hit a three with like 8 or so seconds remaining that forced the game to go to overtime, because Tulsa was leading throughout much of the back half of the second half. They were up by 3 with 10 seconds remaining. Overton, 26 points in the game. Taj Pettiford supplies 24 points. For Tulsa, they do lose rebound battle 39-34. And what's been the calling card for them all season long, their 3-point shooting, just 6 of 26 from 3, but they remained in this game because they did a nice job hitting their free throws. They went 26 out of 32 at the charity stripe. You had 25 big points from David Green, who was able to supply 6 rebounds, but Auburn, they do find a way to be able to win the NIT. They were trying to prove people wrong that they deserve to be in the NCAA tournament, and hey, they were able to go out there, win the NIT. And if you're looking at what we've gotten overall for the season in college basketball, we've only had like 10 games over the last week or so we don't have a lot of recency trends, but that said, it's still been an underdog and underdog season. Right now, the underdogs are running at 51%, 2,960, 2,789 against the spread, and the under rate is 50.7%. 2,916 unders, 2,834 unders, and plenty of pushes along the way. So that's what we're seeing in college basketball right now, and that's what we're getting trend-wise. Coming up next, let's chat it up with our good friend Tanner Kern about what we're going to be seeing in this great title game right here on Coast to Coast with myself, Greg Peterson, now a part of the Beats and Family Podcast. Inside Edge's college basketball season? Well, VSiN experts use CBB Analytics, the most comprehensive college basketball analytics platform in the world. See injury impact on and off data, clutch time performance metrics, first versus second half splits, and so much more. Utilize the promo code of VSiN, that is V-S-I-N, to get $30 off and find your betting edge over at cbbanalytics.com. That is cbbanalytics, all one word, .com. For anyone that is new to VSiN, well, I wish you a friendly hello. This is an attention to anyone that is new to VSiN because you're able to get some free stuff with our daily newsletter. It's a great way to catch up on everything that's happening in the sports betting world. It's delivered straight to your inbox every single morning. VSiN's newsletter offers picks, data, strategies for the day's betting menu, and so much more. Sign up for free today over at VSiN.com/newsletter. That's VSIN.com/newsletter, and start receiving your free newsletter tomorrow morning. That is VSIN.com/newsletter. Stay ahead of the game and bet smarter with VSiN. And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast with myself, Craig Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by this man as we've got Tanner Kerner board. He does such great work taking a look at this great game of college basketball and so much more over there at DraftKings. He is one half of the Ride the Lion podcast, as he and Grant Mitchell, they do a great job on that front. I know that for Tanner, he does some football, he does some UFC, basketball, hockey, you name it, he does it. And you're able to follow him on the old Twitter /X at Tanner Kern with two underscores after that. And Tanner, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Thank you for joining me, Tanner. And Tanner, we do have ourselves a great title game set. And just how do you take a look at the way that UConn has gone here? Because they have not really been the most dominant team here in the tournament, even in that first round game against Furman. That was a little bit of a tight one where they didn't cover the spread, but that said, they've been finding a way to be able to get the job done, and now here they are in the title game.
Yeah, they haven't necessarily looked their best, right? The Furman game was definitely ugly. UCLA, they did control that one, but UCLA didn't have their best player on the floor. Michigan State, they controlled it from beginning to end. They did allow the Spartans to go on a little bit of a run in that game, but still, for the most part, they controlled it. Like the Illinois game, you know, there was never really a doubt in my mind that UConn was going to beat Illinois, and when we got into the game, UConn was controlling the pace and the tempo. So Michigan State and Illinois games, those look very similar from a UConn perspective. Duke, they should not have won that game. You know, there's no lying about that, right? You play that game 100 times, Duke probably wins at 99.9, but UConn just found a way because of their resiliency. And I think that's the biggest thing for them going into the national championship. It's the Dan Hurley effect. It's the ability to win big games that you probably shouldn't be in. You know, we go back to 99. UConn was a 9.5-point dog against Duke. They found a way to win the national title that year. So you just don't know what you're going to get with UConn because of the resiliency and the program history and their ability just to win big games. It doesn't matter who the coach is. And, you know, to top it off, Dan Hurley is one of the best coaches of all time. I would say he's on that trajectory right now. So UConn's a scary team, even though they are clearly mismatched against Michigan, and they have been mismatched a lot in this tournament so far.
Yep, absolutely. And right now, you want to be probably shopping this summer because as we are doing this, finding Michigan as low as a 6.5-point favorite, as high as a 7.5-point favorite, that total neighborhood about 144, 144.5. And how do you take a look at this matchup? Because I do think that it's going to be very difficult for Terrace Reed, for as great as he is, to be able to go up against Michigan and all they have down low, even if Yaxel Lindeborg is not quite 100%, as Ade Mara, he was able to have himself a big impact in that game against Arizona. Morris Johnson has some good versatility, but I do think that's going to be interesting to see what happens down low in this game, because that's where the bread has been buttered for UConn throughout much of the tournament.
Yeah, and UConn's got shooters on the perimeter, and they really have to make shots. I think you can't necessarily look at Terrace Reed, how can he beat Michigan, because he's not going to be able to. I mean, Michigan's got too many threats down low. I mean, Yaxel, depending on how healthy he is, but Ade Mara is fantastic, right? And he was really the proponent, I think, of them blowing out Arizona. When he plays well, Michigan's just so much more dynamic. I don't think this one can come down to Terrace Reed one bit. I think it's got to come down. Can Braylon Mullins make shots? Can Alex Caraban make shots too? Alex Caraban has not done a whole lot in the tournament. He stepped up at times. He's the senior leader. He's made some big free throws, a couple big threes, made one against Duke. But for just consistency wise, Alex Caraban has not been the guy. So I think solo ball's got to make shots. I know he didn't practice, but they got to make shots in the perimeter. If they do that, they're going to be competitive, I think. I think that number is like 45% from three, as tough as that is to do. If they can shoot 45% from three, anything really, you know, 42, 43%, I think they give themselves a really good chance to be competitive. But I think as far as getting points in the paint, it's going to be extremely difficult. And, you know, the second half of the Illinois game was good practice for that. Obviously, the offense went a little stale, but Terrace Reed didn't do a whole lot in the second half. So that's good practice for how this Michigan game is going to go. I don't think you can count on Terrace Reed very much.
Yep, as we do have our good friend Tanner Kern. He does such great work over at DraftKings along with the Ride the Line podcast, joining me right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And let me throw out here an X factor that, I mean, he's been a big part of UConn all season long, but I feel like he's been a little bit out of sight, out of mind, because he hasn't played the full allotment of minutes that you'd expect in the NCAA tournament, and that'd be Silas Demery. Really stepped up in that game against Illinois, in my opinion. Only 7 points, but he threw in there 7 assists, 9 rebounds. He has led the team in assists all season long, but hasn't had as much of an impact in the NCAA tournament because he was dealing with injury prior to that game against Illinois and not played more than 23 minutes. How big of an X factor do you think that it is that it just looks like he's quite a bit more healthy now for this Final Four and this title run, because he clearly was not himself towards the first half of the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I mean, Demery's huge, and he can make shots in the perimeter too, but, you know, really good passer. And obviously, when I feel more comfortable with Silas Demery bringing the ball up the court half the time than I do solo ball, right? So I think Silas Demery is going to be a huge part of this game, whether it's his ability to find open men, make shots, and, you know, make the tough passes too, not just dishing it down to Terrace Reed. It's like, you know, finding Alex Caravan on movement, and, you know, the same thing with Brandon Mullins as well. So Demery's a great free throw shooter as well. That's a, you know, a huge aspect of his game. So he's got to be able to get to the line. He's got to be able to knock down shots. And, you know, like pretty much the entire UConn roster has to play near perfect in this game, I think, to be competitive.
Yep, I do think that they're going to need to be able to play the perfect game. But, hey, we saw Villanova be able to do that many, many years ago, and that led to them being able to knock off Georgetown in the title game as well. And are there a few player props that you are going to be taking a look at for the title game, or are you sticking a little bit more to the side in the total?
I'm sticking to the side in the total. As far as, you know, props go, I'm not in a state where I can do college player props. That makes it a little harder for me. But players that I do expect to have a big game, I mean, I would expect, you know, Adai Mara to have a huge game, just because I think mismatch-wise, that's one area where UConn struggle. It's been a problem for them all season size-wise. They don't have a lot outside of Terrace Reed. I think, you know, if you got a number for Braylon Mullins over the three-pointers, over points, I think he has to be huge in this game. And, you know, Alex Caravan's going to get a lot of shot opportunities because of how they use him. I don't know if he'll be able to knock him down, but those would be a few guys I'd look at there. For Michigan, I think the biggest X factor is potentially Elliot Cadeau over the assist number for him, whatever you can get that at. You know, Cadeau played probably one of the best. He was 2-for-14 the first half the other night. It was one of the best 2-for-14 performances I've ever seen in my life. Just, you know, his ability to pass and bring the ball up the floor and all that. But yeah, side total, it's really hard in this game. I think, you know, from a 6.5, 7.5 point perspective, I want to say UConn covers. You're going to have a really tough time finding many people picking UConn to cover. You're going to have, it's probably near impossible to find anybody to say that UConn can win this game. They're more than capable of doing it. They just have to play near perfect. I think Michigan can have a little bit of an off night and still find a way to cover. So, I, you know, if I had to pick a side, I would say Michigan covers the spread. And I don't think UConn's overly competitive, but Dan Hurley knows how to get his team ready. And don't get me wrong, there's been a lot of disrespect thrown at UConn in the past 24 hours based on how Michigan played in one game early against Arizona.
Yep, and that was a very dominant game against Arizona, but certainly with what UConn was able to do to the number one offense in all of college basketball as well, I think that that's big. And this is what I keep going back to for the title game. I think if the total goes under, UConn is able to cover. I think if the total goes over, that's a Michigan cover. Would you agree with that? Because I do think that the best pathway for UConn to be able to get a victory is by making this a super slow game and making this just a big giant slog.
100%. They were able to do that to Duke in the second half, so it's not impossible by any means. UConn is more than capable of winning this basketball game. I think it needs to, you know, they probably have to have a really good shooting night and they need to hit Michigan on a bad night, but they're more than capable of doing it. Totally agree with you there. I mean, if Michigan's scoring 90 points, if they're doing what they did to Arizona, UConn is not even competitive. I don't think UConn's offense is going to have nearly as much success as Arizona's offense did the other night when Arizona really had no success offensively. So it's going to be very hard for UConn to win if the total goes over.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And after this game, it is into the college basketball season, which lasts for like 7 or so months. And Tanner, I know that you do a great job looking at so many other sports while we are on hiatus for college basketball, but just how much do you take a look at these coaching moves in the offseason? Because I do think that it is so big to be taking a look at, because we're going to have 100 million billion guys enter the transfer portal. It's not even worth discussing right now, because if a player returns to school, that's actually news in this day and age of college basketball rather than when a guy transfers out. But That said, how do you take a look at this offseason? Because I do think that there's a lot of programs that are going to be able to have big 2026-27 seasons that are laying the groundwork right now. And I feel like there have been a good few moves made here in the offseason by a few teams.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jerry McNamara going back to Syracuse is huge. And you saw what he was able to do at Siena when they played Duke. I mean, those kids played their absolute hearts out. And, you know, I think in the world of NIL, there's nothing more meaningful than a coach who has his full heart and soul into a program. And, you know, he has that with Syracuse. So I think that's a great move by Syracuse getting him in the door. Also, you know, hitting on the other big one, Will Wade going to LSU. I don't know how LSU is going to be in football this year, but I know they're going to spend a lot of money, and the same goes for the basketball team, right? So the other way to win in the NIL world is just dish out a lot of money. We know Will Wade is a great coach. He had success when he was at LSU the first time. He had success pretty much across the board. Didn't have the great year at NC State this year, but if you can lead a team like McNeese into a win in the NCAA tournament, you can have success at LSU when you get a lot of money in the door. So I can see that being an X factor next year too. And, you know, it'd be interesting to see who takes the North Carolina job ultimately, but I believe whoever does take that job and gets that job, they're going to be successful as well because they're putting a lot of money into winning.
Yep, I'm in agreement with you there. It's going to be a very exciting offseason where we'll probably see 100 million billion guys enter into the transfer portal. We'll have ourselves probably some brouhahas with all the, shall we say, jurisdiction that came down over the last week or so as well. So there's a lot that is yet to be determined in college basketball with that regard. But one thing that is very much known is that you do such a great job looking on so many different fronts, Tanner. You're doing great work day in and day out over at DraftKings. You do a great job with the Ride the Line podcast and so much more. So let the good people at home know it's all on tap for you and how people are able to follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yep. So you can find me nearly every day on the DraftKings Sportsbook social channels, talking about picks, props, analysis, all that stuff. You can find me Ride the Line podcast, as you're saying, with our friend Grant Mitchell on Tuesdays and Friday mornings where you get your podcasts. And then my personal socials are just at Tanner Curran across the board.
And Tanner, he's doing such a great job looking at this wonderful game of college basketball and so many different sports. And every single time he joins me, he lends such great insight. So big thanks to Tanner for joining me on Cups to Cups Hoops, now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. Coming up next, it is the last game of the year. It actually is the last game of the year. It's a title game between Michigan and UConn. I give you guys my picks and analysis for it as we hit some bank shots. Here, lovely Las Vegas, for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Tanner Curran. He does such great work over at DraftKings and the Ride the Line podcast, looking at a little bit of everything, football, basketball, baseball, you name it, he does it. And every single time he joins me, lends such great insight. So a big thanks to Tanner for joining me in my last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you picks and analysis on every game on the betting board, the lone game on the betting board for this College Basketball Monday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Habit that I think that we've got more than one game on the board, but it is the final game of the year. Very easy to go in the Las Vegas rotation order here. I was trying to see if there were any player props I really liked. I'm just not a player prop guy personally, so just have the side and total like normal. And like I was saying in the first segment, do not worry if you think that this is last podcast of the season. Have no fear, because I will be with you every single day in the offseason. So we'll have some fun there, but how about if we celebrate the last game of the season first? This is 7-1, 7-2 out there at Lucas Oil Stadium. UConn and Michigan do battle. Michigan, 6.5 to 7.5 point favorites, 144 to 144.5 is the total. And as I was saying with Tanner, I do think that this is correlated. If you like the under, you probably like UConn. If you like the over, you probably like Michigan. And I said Michigan has a 7.5 point favorite. I'm right now seeing the 6.5 to 7s. Wouldn't want to go past the 7, but I am willing to lay the 7 with Michigan. I do ultimately think that they find a way to get the job done here. It's a UConn team that's done a great job in terms of guarding the 3-point line. In games played away from home, teams shoot just 29.3% from 3-point. That is a top 8 mark in all of college basketball. And I mean, both of these teams have been very good defensively, but I just feel like Michigan is a little bit more of a complete team, especially with what they're able to provide on the offensive side of things. Right now for Michigan, in terms of their overall balance, they are ranked 7th in the country in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis on defense, 4th in the country in terms of points scored on a per possession basis on offense. And when it comes to this Michigan bunch, I do think that they're going to be able to do a nice job in terms of just being able to win the battle down low, as you've got Ade Mara along with Morris Johnson, who both have been able to combine for about 14 or so rebounds per game. Yaxel Lunderborg unlikely to be 100%, but he's actually not listed on the final injury report for Michigan. So he is going to be good to go in this game. So LaBelle, he's not listed on the UConn injury report. So injury is probably not going to be a big factor here. I did have to make sure that I downgraded Yaxel Lunderborg and his effectiveness just a little bit in this game. But he's still a guy that's giving you 14 plus points, shoots in the mid 30s from three, all that versatility. And then on the flip side for UConn, with Solo Ball, he's been a little bit rough from three-point range, but does a solid job given they see him double figures. But I do think what is going to be, I'll help them out a little bit more offensively, is having Silas Demery back out there on the floor. He's been playing throughout the NCAA tournament a limited amount of minutes, 25 minutes or fewer in every single game, including missing that Furman game prior to that game against Illinois. Now, he only put in there 7 points against Illinois, but the seven assists were big. He was able to find some open men, so I do think that he's going to be able to have a big impact on this game. And then you got Alex Caravan, who's already played in two titles. He shoots 38% from three, 13 points per game. I do think that experience is going to be big, but this is not a UConn team that necessarily puts you under a ton of duress. They're about a country average team in terms of turnovers generated on a per possession basis, and that's one way that you can really undo this Michigan team. They've been outside the top 140 in terms of turnovers on a per possession basis on offense. Michigan is not a team that's really going to generate a lot of turnovers, but they just don't allow you to be able to get good looks whatsoever. Top 10 team in terms of opponents' 2-point shooting percentage. They're also in the top 25 with regards to opponents' 3-point shooting percentage as well. Elliot Cadu has really been able to elevate this team, give you over 5 assists per game, and then I've had someone like a Trey McKinney shoot over 38% from 3-point range. When you need Nabari Burnett to be able to step up, he's been able to give you like 9 or 10 points, shoots in the high 30s from 3-point range. I do think that all the depth, all the experience of Michigan, it is going to be just too much for UConn. We saw them just absolutely dump truck Arizona a few days ago. I think that UConn going to be a little bit better coach in this game. I think that they're going to do their best, but I just think that all the size with the way that Michigan does not allow you to get down low, it allows them to get the job done, because the jump shooting out there in football stadiums that are converted for basketball, just not the world's greatest. I think that that's going to affect Braylon Mullins a little bit in this game. And for Michigan, they're going to look to push the tempo. They're 41st in the country in terms of total possessions per game. UConn more around 307th at 308th, and I do think that Michigan gets that tempo. So semi-total 147.5. I do like the over, and I'm willing to lay up to 7 here with Michigan. And that'll wrap things up for the Monday edition of Coast to Coast Hoops, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. Big thanks to Tanner Kern, who does such great work over at DraftKings, for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you, for this podcast, you'll find 2 ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /xtimeline at gnet_81. Keep in mind, letters CM, they mean does not matter, so as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire on whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Like I said, this is not the last day of the podcast. We're going to be with you guys all throughout the offseason, looking at the transfer portal, these coaching moves, and getting set for who's going to win the 2027 NCAA tournament. So I appreciate you guys tuning in today, and I'll be back with you once again tomorrow. Thank you.